Hello everyone, welcome to PR Not BS with me, Fiona Scott. I hope you're having a great day, a great week, a great month. And I hope that business and life is fine for you. Today I'm joined by a good friend of mine, Rob Curtis, who is an expert in the world of digital marketing, which is a pretty broad church really. But before I say any more, I'm going to let Rob introduce himself.
My name is Rob Curtis. I've been in the digital marketing space now for about a decade. And just over 18 months ago, I had created the Pursuit Agency. Having been in a previous agency, the aspiration to own my own and to really be the driving force behind it just gave me the decision to jump. From there, one of the key things that I've always thought about and really focused on is the fact that I work with so many different businesses of so many different sizes, and so many of them really struggle with the strategies part before we even begin to implement, I want SEO, I want PPC, I want social media. Having worked with so many different businesses, we just get to take them from their infancy and help them really understand who their customer is, what they're trying to do, and how we can take them forward. And then we work with them on all sorts of different tactics. As I mentioned, SEO, PPC, social media advertising, email marketing, working in all sorts of communication methods just to give them what they actually need rather than trying to fit them in, trying to fit square pegs in round holes to deliver a solution for them.
And the world of digital marketing, though, it's confusing, Rob. It's overwhelming. Even if you've got a load of budget, you could throw it all at the wrong thing. So what do you think when you would start working with a client? How do you even start to work out? It's like knitting fog. How do you take that massive cloud of digital marketing and make it relevant to them?
Great question. So for me, one of the key things around that, as I mentioned, my love for that strategy process is, let's go and understand from their perspective in the first instance, who are their clients? How did they acquire them? What process did they go through? Even their sales journey, everything like that that ties into it. And then what we're trying to do is actually begin to try and speak to some of those customers of theirs currently, trying to find out what their problems were and what their challenges were. But being predominantly in kind of the search engine marketing space for so long, I just realized that there's so much data available by going to understand essentially what people Google. From a really high level perspective, it begins to help us understand what their challenges and their needs really, really are. From there, you can then take your learnings to any different tactic. Even a billboard out on the side of a road can demonstrate, you've got this problem, we can solve this for you. Right down to email marketing and all the bits and bobs that you're used to hearing about from every agency in the country.
The one thing I've liked about you, Rob, well, apart from your energy and personality, of course, because I've known you for ages before the Pursuit Agency came about, but is that you really love what you do. You live it and breathe it. In the way that I love storytelling, you love your bit of my world. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I adore it. It's quite funny, really, because many years ago, I just loved Excel spreadsheets, and the process of search engine optimization was very technical, very dull, very, very mundane. It was just this magic thing that people did ages ago that would all of a sudden you'd be ranking in Google and getting loads of traffic. But my love for just and being able to invest so much in myself to learn about all different tactics of marketing and really, as you mentioned then, about storytelling, really trying to get my teeth into what are people's problems and how does product, service, solution solve that. And that's just why I love it. I love to work with different businesses, just help. It's such a fantastic journey when we get to work with some clients and they win. It's brilliant.
How do you deal with the whole thing then, Rob, about ROI? Because I anticipate you'll have the same difficulties that I have, is that, yeah, it's great to be visible, but how do you correlate that with sales and money in the bank?
It's all in the data that we can access. There's so much access to all the information and stuff that you can get from different tracking devices and stuff. But you're right, particularly in those early phases of SEO, is you have to be working with people that understand that it's a process. If they're not prepared to spend that time, energy, effort, money doing that, then for me, they're not the right client. For me, it's about how they're buying into what this can achieve for them and the constant evolution of it. And that's a really, really big thing for me.
Yeah, and it is for me now, but you learn that as you go, because to me, marketing is an animal that you constantly have to feed to achieve what you want to. And the more you want to achieve, the more you've got to feed the animal.
Absolutely. I think I often use the language with a lot of clients that we work with. It's an evolution, not a revolution. We're not here to take over and change the scope of everything. But what we're here to do is take you on a journey. We're going to individually implement, fix and develop different parts of your marketing strategy at the end of the day.
And the other thing I like about you, from the time you first started Pursuit, which is still a really young company, you've worked with someone like me And I might be seen as quite a traditional, almost old school form of marketing, Rob. So why do you want to work with someone like me when you're in such a fast moving, modern space? What's the value?
The value is just huge, Fee. And you know all my love for you at the best of times, as I constantly message you saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. But for me, it's an education piece. People don't know the Pursuit Agency. Like I said, I was in the space in Swindon and Wiltshire now for quite a long time. But to actually allow people who don't know us yet, new incoming, new growing businesses that haven't heard of me or the Pursuit, really rewarding and quite an ego stroke at times when someone comes up to you and says, wow, it's great to see you doing this and doing that and stuff. And I thought, I don't know how to tell that story. I can't talk about myself that much.
Well, I'm very blessed that from such an early stage of your business, you've got involved with me and you won quite a big award really quickly, didn't you? Tell us about that.
So it was something I certainly didn't expect, but it was the Startup of the Year Award with the Great British Business and Community Awards. And I was flabbergasted when my name got announced, especially as I saw my brand up there as a finalist. And I panicked and said to my wife with a few choice words, what if I win? What do I say? And I think I even remember cuddling you on the way up and saying, what
do I
say? You
did. Well, I think I cuddled you, actually.
And I think all you said was, please don't swear on stage, Robin. But it was an absolute privilege. It was so, like you said a minute ago, it's so young still in the grand schemes of a whole business journey. And to be recognised for that short-term achievement is, I'm just really blessed. I'm really humbled by a handful of fantastic business owners and entrepreneurs and just people with so many years experience in business, for them to recognize my business Pursuit as something that's somebody that's doing so well. I just completely humbled by it all.
I mean, when you worked within other companies and when you're grateful for those experiences and all that learning, when you were thinking of Pursuit or that idea was forming in your mind, how did you think you were going to be different? What was it about Pursuit that was going to be different for you?
I think for me, it was, I could think about the process and the tactical elements that I mentioned about earlier and how we actually really get into the nook and crannies. Like I said, we see so many businesses kind of struggle with a plan and think, oh, I should just do that or I should just do that. But for me, what really excited me about it was I've had a vision that was growing about how I want the business to be perceived, who I want us to work with and pieces like that. And I just couldn't wait to get it going. But I think the other part of it for me personally was I've got to really put my big boy pants on. There is nobody there to catch me if I fall. And I was very, very blessed in my old agency. I had a great team of support around me. And just that aspiration of mine to own my agency and own that direction and vision was something that I just couldn't see. So I just wanted to go and do it. But like I said, I'm really humbled that when I announced, the amount of people that have been able to, yourself included, just to say, let me give you some advice. Let me give you a support. Do you want a coffee? Like, that just demonstrates, in all honesty, just how great people Swindon and Wiltshire really, really are.
I mean, what people might not know about you, Rob, is actually you've been problem solving from a very young age, because you and your wife, you kind of got together really young, didn't you? I mean, you know, and you're still together now and you're very loved up. So from a very young age, you and your wife had to make a big decision about your lives. I mean, talk us through that.
Sure. So it always gives me a big smile on my face because it's nice when people remind me of this and it feels like you've done something right. Me and my wife were, or me and my now wife, we've been married for almost just over 11 years, actually. And I should get the date right, really. But at 19, found out that we were going to have a child. And obviously, being a 19-year-old boy, that was the most horrifying thought that ever came to my mind. I just didn't know how to not even process it. What am I supposed to do? I haven't even grown up yet. Amber arrived, a beautiful little girl, and who's now 14 and going to be 15 this year. And that horrifies me. But in the space of 5 days, Amber was born on the Saturday. We completed and we bought our house on the Thursday. I was dad and mortgaged all before I was 20. So yeah, it certainly made me have to grow up quick.
And when you look back on that, because it must have been scary when you and Steph found out you were having a baby so young, and made a load of big decisions really quickly. Do you look back and think, God, I'm glad those things happened because they led to everything else?
Massively. Everything I aspire to achieve in my life is around Steph and my girls. And I have another daughter as well, Liv. She'll moan at me if I didn't give her a shout out. They are my world. They are absolutely brilliant. And the fact that I get to do what I do every day and what I love, to reward them, to thank them for supporting me.
But also, I mean, the other thing I've noticed about you, Rob, knowing you, is that you and Steph empower each other to be the best you can be. Even though, yeah, you'd been together a while, but you suddenly had a baby, you suddenly, you know, did all of that stuff at a very young age. But Steph is successful in her own right, isn't she?
She's a machine. She's the boss. She makes everything happen. Olivia must have been two. Steph decided after some sad times in our family where she lost her grandparents that she wanted to go and help. And what that turned into was a year at college where she got all distinctions in psychology, sociology and chemistry, I think, and headed off to Oxford Brookes Uni and smashed a 3-year course, coming top of the class, getting a Teresa Bentley Award to become a nurse. And for her to do that whilst when she finished that, we were walking into COVID, essentially. It was her last placement was essentially giving jabs out in the end. Just what an incredible woman she is. But I remember the day she said she wanted to do it, I just said, yep, you're doing it. Go. Don't worry about everything else. We'll be fine. And for when I told her what I wanted to do after that, she said, brilliant, go. And it was the exact same thing. Such a partnership. It's amazing.
And I think that it's good for people to know that context with you, particularly in the Swindon area, Rob. And the other thing is, you really love Swindon, don't you? Talk to me about that.
I do. Wiltshire born and bred. Grew up in Pinehurst, Robinshiney, whichever one I decide to say on the day is right on the line. And I've grown up here. Love Swindon. Love my world's always been football as a kid. So adoring Swindon Town. Used to go with my dad when I was tiny. Used to go with my cousins when I was a teenager, and just fell in love with it. I think there's, and especially actually even further now, as I've come into business owner sort of society and entrepreneur mindsets, the businesses and support all around, just to check in, say, hey, how are things going? It's so warm, and it's such a great feel for the whole place.
Well, I would agree, but I'm biased, but I don't even come from Swindon originally. But there's something else you've discovered about yourself during this early phase of your business, haven't you, Rob? So tell us about that.
This always makes me chuckle because I'm sure anyone can keep up with me talking. I finally went through a process of getting diagnosed for ADHD. And it's something a very, very good friend of mine, Sean, said to me 7 or 8 years ago. And I kept looking at it. I kept thinking about it, procrastinating on it, obviously. Who would have thought I had ADHD? And when, obviously, COVID came and went, so obviously not the time to try and explore these things properly. But When we got into the pursuits up and running, and I could just feel like a weight, and I wasn't sure what I could just feel it bubbling almost. And I'd always managed to, I'm a geek, I always find research and like to learn about so many things. Finally being able to kind of go through that process and get some extra support it's just helped me, and making home life better for everybody else, making interactions with different humans, and even just for myself, sometimes when you can feel on top of the world or you're chasing some dopamine, right down to, oh, I'm flat as heck, what do I do? It's a really, really good understanding just to help me get moving.
How does ADHD show up for you then, Rob?
So I'm 150 miles an hour all the time. But for me, I think there's two sides to it. One, there's the energy that everybody sees, and I love that. And I'm not afraid to say I'm taking some medication for it at the moment. And my biggest fear was that was going to negate me, like was going to make me void or dull at the end of the day. And thankfully, that's not there. So that's a really, really big benefit for me. The other side to it, which isn't often shared about as much, can be the procrastination, the self-doubt. And I've always just thrown that language of imposter syndrome around. But actually, that approach of almost just kicking yourself down sometimes for no reason whatsoever, and being putting the shoe on the other foot. If it was a friend of mine, I was saying to them, I'd be telling them, no, you're fine, you're great, whatever's going on, it doesn't, like, you're fine, you're, everything's moving, you're great, whatever it is. And that's so hard to do when you're in that. There's things you can do, even to the point of diet and exercise and things like that, to just kind of make you feel a bit better as well. So it really does take you from pillar to post in just emotional feelings, if I'm honest.
Do you feel that now you've got an official diagnosis of ADHD that you understand yourself better?
Yes, 150% yes. It was something, like I said, my friend who's sort of in the space mentioned this to me a long time ago, and I've always kind of self-prescribed myself, or whatever the right language is. But for me, it's given me that time to go, okay, do you know what? You can't be perfect all the time, which is a common challenge I put upon my common pressure I put on myself. And I feel like I've got a little bit of a why that is. And again, like I said earlier, being the geek that I am, I'm constantly looking for a life hack or a body hack and stuff like that. And some of those simple little things like setting alarms on my phone when I know I need to go and pick my youngest up from school, just to make sure it happens. And all those little, make sure you eat dinner or make sure you have some lunch and so on and so forth. And not to say it's perfect or anything like that, but it's just given me that confidence to go, right, I can help myself not think about too many things. And like I said, it's a very common thing where there'll be 150,000 things going through your mind at the time, and you have to find one or two things to focus on. And that is really, really tough. I'm just lucky about, I have such a fantastic wife who just goes, yeah, cool, I get it. It's not quite your day. Let's do something to get your day better. And she takes her time to give me that, which is amazing.
And has she noticed, since you've got the diagnosis and you're taking a bit of medication to help you, I don't know, level out or whatever it might be, has she noticed any difference?
I'll say yes, but no, she's definitely fed that back to me a few times, which is nice. It's like I said, I don't like to think I'm not like an ogre or anything like that, but it's just actually that elation of chasing dopamine down to I'm completely depleted of it. And there's times there where she'll say, well, do you know, actually, you've burnt the candle at all the ends. Stay in that for a little while. Have that crash day that you need. Or come on, up we get, let's go. But she has noticed that, and she said it a lot over the past almost year now, actually. Things are nicer, if that makes sense.
I think a lot of people don't really understand what ADHD is, and I think it's a spectrum, isn't it? Lots of people can have lots of different things, yes. And it shows, can show up very differently in men and women. I'm not sure if that's right or whether it's just different for each individual. Have you found yourself researching around the subject a bit more now you know that you are a person who has this thing?
Oh, yes. And not just scrolling on TikTok for 17 hours now they know that I'm interested in ADHD. But yeah, you're actually, interestingly enough, you're right. Very, very common in sort of young boys versus young girls, and how that gets portrayed is very different. For example, when I was a kid, it's all hyperactivity. It was all around going to football, karate, swimming, basketball, whatever I need to do to pent out all this energy, because it wasn't as au fait. People weren't as comfortable about it as we are now, which is great. But obviously it can be very, very common in young girls, where it's actually more of that sort of retrospective approach that I mentioned a minute ago, where it's a bit more internal. I have some gut issues, gut health issues. And they can say, again, obviously there's a lot of science and understandings around how your cognitive and thinking is around your and how that influences your gut health at the end of the day. And as I've learned about that, I realized that, wow, going back 7 years ago, I think 7 or 8 years ago when I was in hospital, wow, work from an old life for God knows how long. But understanding what I knew now, I wouldn't have got myself in that position. And it's really nice now, actually, where sometimes that, yeah, I'll push myself, I'll be feeling rubbish or something like that, and I'll be having a bad couple of days, and you keep bouncing through it, but I can actually start to feel that's like that little bit of discomfort or XYZ, whatever's going on. And I think, right, that's my kick up the bum to refresh, reset, and go again. And but yeah, there's so many powerful things around it, and there's so many different versions. We're not all the same.
So tell me, how do you relax then? How do you switch off?
that's a tough one. Switching off is tough overall. I think what I try and do now, I was actually reading about this the other day, and I'm definitely not perfect at it, because I'll be out with Steph and the girls and I'll still be procrastinating. I'll be thinking about work, right? Because we do as business owners, right? We're on it all the time. And I'm so lucky. They are always respect that. They are brilliant. But you feel guilty, right? And even in conversation, sometimes I'll be gone. And what I'm now trying to put into place is a process where actually I almost schedule in that time, that family time, that, because it's part of my life now. It's not, oh, I've got all this stuff to do, I've got 100 things rattling around my brain. The to-do list is fine, but in my brain, it's going off 100 miles an hour. This is scheduled in time, which sounds really bad as an adult or a dad to spend, or a husband to spend time with his wife and his daughters, but actually, that just makes me feel better when I'm actually with them. My youngest daughter plays football, my eldest dances, and I actually get to go and sit at these shows or watch football and actually just get to sit and enjoy them and be proud of them, rather than thinking, oh, I've got that on my to-do list, or I've got to think about that, or what's going through now, or all those sorts of things. It's really nice to begin to clear that space.
I do sometimes wonder if a load of us entrepreneurs have a degree of ADHD, because everything you said to me is really familiar. Things like David used to say when he was really small, he's 16 now, but he used to say, Mum, you're not with us, when I was in the room. And what he meant was that I wasn't mentally in the room. Yeah. My brain was elsewhere, though I was physically present. And there's a real difference between being physically present and actually being present.
Oh, well, actually, first of all, you're right. I read a lot around how they talk about entrepreneurs and all the sort of bits, how we make the worst employees, naturally, because we necessarily can't just sit and follow the same system and process. We need that space. The ideology is to work a 9-to-5, right? It doesn't matter who you are and where you are. But for me, a 9-to-5 doesn't work. I am done by 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I am absolutely done. So for me, what that means is that I might drag that out till 4. I usually meet Steph and the girls. We go to the gym. We'll have a bit of dinner. And then, do you know what? I'll pick a few bits up in the evening because the girls are obviously, they're old enough now. They're doing their own thing. They're on hangout with dad all the time. Steph's doing her own thing. And actually allowing me to adapt to what works best for me is kind of why I want to do this. And I can set my rules and my template and my structure for life. Being able to recognize that if you've got ADHD is a really powerful tool. And if you're going through that process in a job where you have to sit and do that 9-to-5, then I just encourage anyone listening, don't have those conversations.
I found the one big thing since being self-employed is that I sleep a lot better than I ever did when I was employed, even though I love my job. Yes. Sleep is a much bigger thing. I think like deep sleep. Not waking up feeling knackered. Mm. So how is sleep in your life?
So really common in kind of the ADHD world is sleep can always be a bit fragmented. I used to drink before medication and stuff. I'd be drinking 12 to 15 cups of coffee a day, but I'd still crash. I would still absolutely crash and burn. Good night's sleep is great. Getting up in the morning is easier when you love the stuff you do, right? We're small business owners, entrepreneurs. You want to get up in the morning, right? You've got stuff to do, but actually being able to go, it's a good time you had a rest. How do you unwind? How do you be able to relax and so on and so forth? That's just so powerful to the point where it's again, definitely not perfect on this because I do love a TikTok or a late TikTok scroll. But can I get off the technology? Can I encourage your kids to get off the technology? Can I get back into my book? What have I missed the last couple of days? I haven't done 10 pages for a couple of days or whatever it is I'm trying to challenge myself with. And all of a sudden, then I can relax. The screens aren't on, the lights aren't on, bright red, and I can chill.
I have always had a rule never ever to take my phone or a screen to bed, and I've always stuck with that because I always read my books. That's my one little thing. The one thing I also want to say to you, Rob, is there'll be people listening into this and thinking, oh, Fiona, you've been a bit intrusive. I've asked you lots of questions about your life. Does that make sense to you that I would do that?
Yeah. People listen to me, don't know the Pursuit Agency yet, haven't met me at all, but they can begin to get to know why I think how I think or why I do what I do and all those sorts of things. So all questions are welcome.
Well, I think one of the reasons asking you to do this is to demonstrate to people you can't just be a business if you want to do good PR. And that doesn't matter whether the PR is digital marketing, doing things for good visibility on Google, SEO, if you like, a more modern take on SEO. You have to be a fully faceted person who is not just one-dimensional. Understanding and creating that a sort of emotional link around you being a young man in business, you just starting out, you get married young, you have an ADHD. These are all emotion points where people could connect to you, Rob, and decide that they at least want a conversation with you because you might be like them.
I think that's a huge piece. And again, comes back to the question you asked me earlier around like, why do traditional methods to use your language of PR and things like that? And it's like the good old fashioned people buy from people, right? And if I can be telling my story from my perspective, I might be able to, thinking of ADHD, I might be able to influence someone to go and have a conversation with someone about it or raise it to their partners to say, I feel like I'm in this avenue. Can we explore it together? Like stuff like that is just amazing. But then even, like I said, from more putting my entrepreneurial hat on, I'll communicate digitally, traditionally, just how I would talk to someone day to day. And like working with you in that process just gives me the opportunity to do that. It's what you watch is me. There's no other way around it.
What do you want to happen then with the agency in 2024, Rob? Give us, you know, your hopes for this present year.
Number one, I want to keep working with some great businesses. We've been doing a really interesting process for the past couple of months to not necessarily build that one-stop shop solution because every business is so different, but for that business that has tried loads of things and never quite applied it right or tried to do something almost on the cheap, you pay twice, all those sorts of analogies I could throw in there. But to be able to say, right, I need to be able to get my brand out, educate my audience and ultimately make sales. What does that actually look like? And so I'm looking to launch that in 2024 and throughout the rest of the year and how we can put that together. So that's a really, really big piece of me. But more importantly, I want to keep focusing on growing the team. I love people. We might sit at home sometimes and work from home versus meeting up in the office every day of the week. But when we get together, it's a great time. It's always giggles. We've most importantly got that big focus on what we're all trying to achieve. And I encourage all the team as it grows to think of the same way.
Okay, give me a rundown then. In early 2024, who are the team?
So right now, it's myself, Belle. Belle's our content marketing manager. And we have Ken. Ken's a web developer. What we're then looking to do is to branch out into more working internally with paid advertising individual, to be working with more people that are understanding from an account management perspective, not just, oh, cool, you sell this, I can sell that too, but actually more people with more strategic approach have been able to say, okay, let me come and understand your business, let me figure out what's going on, and then we'll give you a good recommendation. I pride myself on not having a package, because being in that SEO space is very different. I appreciate certain other tactics you need that structure, or actually with SEO, you kind of need that process of, well, we need to do what's right for your business and your campaign. So one doesn't look the same as the other. So it's a constantly evolving space that we just want to keep growing with, really.
Well, I shall look forward to working with you along that journey in 2024 and beyond, even though I'm old enough to be your mum.
Not at all.
But lovely to talk to you. Thanks so much, Rob. How can people find you?
For sure. So if you want to find me on LinkedIn, I'm Rob Curtis. I should get that right. But if not, check out our website, thepursuitagency.com. Like I said, though, drop us a message on LinkedIn if you've got any other questions, want to chat about ADHD and all things like that.
Thank you so much. Lovely to talk to you today. So that's been me, Fiona Scott. No BS, plenty of PR in that talk with Rob Curtis. I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you want to find me, I'm at www.scottmedia.uk. I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Facebook. I've also got a Facebook group called Fiona Scott's PR Tribe, so do drop in. It's free and I'd love to have you there. Thank you very much for listening and speak to you soon.